The one thing which brought some light into the life of the brave old woman was the transparent devotion of her shaggy bunch, whose eyes were never far from her face. And the snag was that they were all elderly. There had in fact been four dogs originally, but one of them, a truly ancient golden Labrador, had died a few months previously. And now I had the rest of them to look after, and none of them less than 10 years old. They were perky enough, but all showing some of the signs of old age. Prince with his heart. Sally beginning to drink a lot of water, which made me wonder if she was starting with pyometra. Ben growing steadily thinner with his nephritis. I couldn't give him new kidneys, and I hadn't much faith in the hexamine tablets I had prescribed. Another peculiar thing about Ben was that I was always having to clip his claws. They grew at an extraordinary rate. The cats were better, though Susie was a bit scraggy, and I kept up a morbid kneading of her furry abdomen for signs of lymphosarcoma. Arthur was the best of the bunch. He never seemed to ail anything beyond a tendency for his teeth to tartar up. This must have been in Miss Stubbs' mind, because when I had finished my tea, she asked me to look at him. I hauled him across the bedspread and opened his mouth. Yes, there's a bit of the old trouble there. Might as well fix it while I'm here. Arthur was a huge, grey, neutered Tom, a living denial of all those theories that cats are cold-natured, selfish, and the rest. His fine eyes looked out on the world with an all-embracing benevolence and tolerance. His every movement was marked by immense dignity. As I started to scrape his teeth, his chest echoed with a booming purr like a distant outboard motor. There was no need for anybody to hold him. He sat there, placidly, and moved only once, when I was using forceps to crack off a tough piece of tartar from a back tooth and accidentally nicked his gum. He casually raised a massive paw as if to say, "Have a care, chum." But his claws were sheathed. My next visit was less than a month later, and was in response to an urgent summons from Mrs. Broadwith at 6 o'clock in the evening. Ben had collapsed. I jumped straight into my car, and in less than 10 minutes was threading my way through the overgrown grass in the front garden with the animals watching from their window. The barking broke out as I knocked, but Ben's was absent. As I went into the little room, I saw the old dog lying on his side, very still, by the bed. DOA is what we write in the daybook. Dead on arrival. Just three words, but they cover all kinds of situations. The end of milk fever cows, bloated bullocks, calves in fits. And tonight they meant that I wouldn't be clipping old Ben's claws anymore. It wasn't often these nephritis cases went off so suddenly, but his urine albumin had been building up dangerously lately. Well, it was quick, Miss Stubbs. I'm sure the old chap didn't suffer at all. My words sounded lame and ineffectual. The old lady was in full command of herself. No tears, only a fixity of expression, as she looked down from her bed at her companion of so many years. My idea was to get him out of the place as quickly as possible, and I pulled a blanket under him and lifted him up. As I was moving away, Miss Stubbs said, "Wait a moment." With an effort, she turned onto her side and gazed at Ben. Still without changing expression, she reached and touched his head lightly. Then she lay back calmly as I hurried from the room. In the back kitchen, I had a whispered conference with Mrs. Baldwith. "I'll run down to the village and get Fred Manners to come and bury him," she said. "And if you've got time, could you stay with the old lady while I'm gone? Talk to her like, it'll do her good." I went back and sat down by the bed. Miss Stubbs looked out of the window for a few moments, then turned to me. "You know, Mr. Elliot," she said casually, "it will be my turn next." "What do you mean?" "Well, tonight Ben has gone, and I'm going to be the next one. I just know it." "Oh, nonsense. You're feeling a bit low, that's all. We all do when something like this happens." But I was disturbed. I had never even heard a hint of such a thing before. "I'm not afraid," she said. "I know there's something better waiting for me. I've never had any doubts." There was silence between us as she lay calmly looking up at the card on the gas bracket. Then the head on the pillow turned to me again. have only one fear." Her expression changed with startling suddenness as if a mask had dropped. The brave face was almost unrecognizable. A kind of terror flickered in her eyes, and she quickly grasped my hand.